Hi, Sally Spillane. Welcome back to The Garden Show. The Garden Show is brought to you by The Phantom Gardener. Organic from the start, sustainable for the future, a growing legend on Route 9 in Rhinebeck and at thephantomgardener.com. Adams Fairacre Farms, your owned garden center, greenhouse, and super farm market in Kingston, Poughkeepsie, and Newburgh. AdamsFarms.com and Ward's Nursery Garden Center and Wild Bird Shop, supporting The Garden Show for over 16 years. 20 years. To correct this paper. On South Main Street in Great Barrington and at wordsnursery.com. My guest this morning, Dave Toter, Boulder Architecture in New Paltz, 845-532-8354, boulder-architecture.com. Check out the website. You'll have fun with that. Green Acres in New Paltz, David's project, a first zero net energy development of single family homes on the planet. We've been talking about all kinds of things. I want to go outside. I want to talk a little bit about hardscape and how you sort of perceive what's outside of the buildings you design.
Okay. Well, one of the things in terms of how the house shapes the landscape around it is that the house itself creates microclimates, and that it, you know, creates a certain amount of shade, you know, to the north side of where there's now a building, and then various amounts of the light level, and then, you know, moisture conditions too, because where the gutter downspouts come down, you're going to have more water there, and you could potentially use that, you know, in your garden design. Another way that the hardscape of the built environment affects where your planting areas is retaining walls. You know, if you've got, say, a walkout basement, there's almost certain to be some retaining walls or at least sloped areas that are an element on the property. And then, you know, you have a way that you're coming into or out of the house. So you're going to have porches or, you know, decks or patios, and then those lead to walkways and then the driveway. And so all of these things are generally what you design first, but there is a kind of conversation in the design process with, well, what are you shaping then with the plantable areas? And, you know, will it be lawn? Will it be trees or bushes? Or will it be a planting bed? And then, you know, there'll be an opportunity for the homeowner perhaps to have some fun in that kind of space.
And there's so many choices for materials in hardscape. So that must be fun for you.
It is. To some extent, that's frequently something that I leave to the client. It depends on how much help they want. But certainly going through the various options, for example, patio or paving, you know, you can do, say, bluestone, or you can do the concrete pavers, which have so many different options. Some of them interlock, and you can do, landscape bricks,
gravel.
You can even do gravel. Yeah, they're rounded gravel. And then color choices that you have with that, as well as size options. And they're all really neat, the way they feel on bare feet and how they work with the garden spaces and the house itself.
And hardscape often is a great, if you're outside watching the snow melt this year and the ice melt, you'll see that it's the hardscape that's coming back first. You know, the area under white pines and hardscape, you know, because as soon as that stone or concrete starts warming up, just one little piece of it, it goes pretty quickly.
Right, reflecting the solar rays back up through. So it's almost the snow and ice getting double hit off those reflective surfaces.
So the designing your garden or your landscape around your house to maximize the design of your house. Do you have any words on that? I mean, I see so many people planting way too close to the house.
That's where I was thinking, and almost starting on a cautionary note, is that, you know, if you're doing bushes, you don't really want them super close, both so the bush can have enough room to do its thing, but also because it tends to make a moister area, and it can be bad for your siding or, you know, just the house itself. If it's always shaded and covered with greenery of some kind, like vines can be great. They can actually be neat, you know, in south shading, but you don't want them growing directly on your house because even ones that aren't super invasive will somehow, they'll crawl under the siding. They'll do bad things to your house. They become a real maintenance issue. And so if you have a little space, that can be good. Other thoughts, you know, trees in the way that they can kind of break up the view or shape the view as you're coming both at the house or looking out from the house. And, you know, some of that gets into garden design where you're like, well, we'll have the higher elements or some higher elements in the back and then, you know, kind of step down and have points of interest, you know, in the foreground and, you know, lower plantings and ground covers and such.
Yeah, there's so much you can do. I have this idea that foundation plantings, which really didn't exist until the 50s, and came out of some kind of shame from having cinder block foundations after years of brick and stone, and you know everyone needed to just like, you know, cover up their cinder block foundations. You know, and I always view it as a kind of like a not very good solution to something that maybe was considered an aesthetic concern because these things, foundation plantings, just and they get huge. Because a lot of
rhododendrons that have just taken over.
Because a lot of times they're getting so much solar, and people usually plant them at the corners of the house, which is where you kind of earlier mentioned, you know, it's a great place to collect water from your downspout, you know, so these things are just doing really well. They're getting maximum sun and maximum water, and, you know, and they get maximum big.
They do. Well, you know, so maybe that's where you'd plant like a lilac, and you still will have to maintain it, yeah, but at least, you know, it's something that's supposed to get tall. Yeah, just about.
That was the first New England garden solution, I think, was lilacs on the corners of houses. You know, so thinking about your house when you're designing your garden, thinking about your garden when you're designing your house, pretty seamless.
Right. You should ideally have everything planned out, or at least, you know, the big moves,
yeah,
have those planned out, and with the, you know, allowance for some things that can be designed later, you know, because you have to finish your final grading and get, you know, the house built before you can really do,
yeah,
the gardening, but at least have it considered to the, you know, the intensity required that you've thought out what you need to and leave room and, you know, space for it.
And a lot of houses create just by their architecture, as you mentioned, microclimates, but also opportunities for something that was called 10 years ago garden rooms, which are spaces created almost sort of like that almost are like a flop down on the ground room, you know, but that fits with the architecture of the house. You know, it's just sort of creating another sort of angle or another space that sort of mirrors the house and becomes really, even though it's a garden, a kind of part of the house.
Well, that's neat. And the sunrooms, too, that you might have where they're, yeah, glass enclosed. And the, like a solarium where you do have an opportunity for planting, you know, almost outside, you know, inside,
yeah,
for longer. But it is neat how the outside work, both with the hardscape, you know, and patios as well as the gardening, you can create outside rooms with the way you know, form the garden or the lawn and some of the elements you might have, like a, you know, a trellis gateway that might really kind of shape how you move through, almost like you're moving through rooms and outside.
You were, one of your projects was to design a carport. Rather than a garage, because a garage would have trashed the view.
Right. On that project, the backyard had a view past the house towards the Rondout Creek. And so, you know, garages are very useful, but in this case, the carport was really good. You know, it was room for two cars, but also you could back the cars out and have a barbecue party there in inclement weather.
Yeah. Talk about a garden room.
Yeah, there you are.
Yeah, bring your own tent.
Right.
Yeah. So there are lots of solutions. We tend to be conventional, I think, sometimes when we're looking at it. Hence the need for architects.
There you go. There you go. I deal in solutions, right? There always are, as you say, there are solutions to any issue. And it's just, you know, become aware of the possibilities and then you can make a decision.
So, do you work, will you consult with people without doing drawings? Do you just go the whole way? What is your, how do you work?
Right. Well, the first meeting, I'll come to your house or, you know, or a place of business, and it's a free meeting, and I'll talk with you as, you know, in as much depth as we can get into. I'll, you know, have a 2-hour meeting at no cost, and then within 3 business days, I'll email you a proposal. And we can go from there, or, you know, I suppose you can take what advice you can glean in 2 hours and that'll
and
work too. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so cool. There's so much information and knowledge and wisdom out there to be gleaned, you know, and I think sometimes why, you know, another human being is really a great person to have in a problem-solving situation.
That's right.
You can't figure it all out on your computer.
No, and also having different perspectives.
Yeah.
You know, like with any problem, it's very helpful. And,
yeah.
You know, if you're doing a design problem, you want a design professional to, you know, work with you and tell you what you can do.
Oh, that sounds like fun. Okay, we're out of time. David, thank you so much. That was really fun for me.
Thank you, Sally. Same.
David Toter is Boulder Architecture in New Paltz, Green Acres in New Paltz, the first zero net energy development of single family homes on the planet is David's project, one of David's projects, but a pretty cool one, I am sure you will agree. You can check that out at boulder-architecture.com. And once again, the phone, 845-532-8354. Yeah, so now's a really great time to think about this as we're watching the snow melt. Plenty to do when spring gets here. David, thanks once again.
Thank you, Sally.